Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 143. In this episode, we're going to be talking about how do you leverage social media to drive your community. It's an important subject. It's really important to have a social media strategy. What is classified as social media? That's going to be an interesting topic because I think it encapsulates quite a few things that you might not consider to be social media. I've got my ever patient and helpful co-host, Kurt, who really knows even more about what we talk about than me. So, Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, Jonathan, my name is Kurt von Annen. I own a company called Manana Nomas, and we work directly with the great folks over at WP Tonic as well.
That's fantastic. Like I say, this should be a really insightful show. Having a social media strategy is really important if you're going to really get that first batch of students in your membership website course. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of the show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. We've also got a special sponsor for the next few weeks, and Kirk will tell you more about this monthly sponsor. Over to you, Kirk.
Yeah, Jonathan, we're talking about Mysterio LMS, and here's why we're excited about those folks at Mysterio. They've got a free version, and it's not a trial. It's not limited. You get unlimited courses, unlimited lessons, unlimited students, and that's forever. No credit card needed. So you can build your entire course business without paying a cent. Now, they've got a drag and drop editor. The quiz creation is there and student progress tracking, built-in payments with PayPal and Stripe. That's all there in the free version. But if you're looking for like certificates or content drip or other advanced features, they do have a pro version. But honestly, I think most course creators are going to be able to launch for free. And you can check them out at Mysterio LMS. That's MASTERIYO.com.
That's fantastic. Thanks for that, Kirk. All right, let's go straight into it. Understanding social media and community. I think the reason we're saying community, folks, is that I think at the end of 2025, in the next couple of months, 2026 is coming up, is that if you want a successful membership, you're going to have elements of community in it. And what those elements would be is up to you, really. Now, we love Fluent Community. That there's a lot of buzz about SCORM. We discussed those last week, comparing SCORM with Fluent Community. If you hadn't had the opportunity to listen to that particular episode, I would highly recommend it to you. So, Kirk, I've listed kind of, I'd like to get your general view of what you see as community with membership. And I've listed about four subcategories of different types of community. And maybe you can go straight in to these four and give me feedback about, would you agree that these are useful subcategories?
If I'm looking at this correctly, we're talking about professional communities, support communities, internet interest-based communities, and personal brand communities, right?
Interest-based, yes.
Yeah. So I think what you've done is important, and that is to isolate what is the actual cause or reason to have community. We talk to an awful lot of folks, Jonathan, you and I, about people that want to have a membership site or a community site or something along those ways. but they want to have it to have it. They think it's a requirement for success in some way, but they don't have a focus or a pathway for what the community is actually for. And so I think it's kind of cool the way that you've broken it down.
Yeah, I'm just going to put this to you. I think it depends what you call community, because if you're just starting off with just membership, and I would advise you, I think it's totally the right thing just to start off with subscription-based membership. And then after you've got your first batch of students in, you can look at adding different elements of community, to add conversation. You know, you could use Facebook groups, or you could go straight to using school, or we would advise you to look at Fluent Community. And then that has almost 80% or 70% of what you would probably want. And then there's higher levels, there's Mighty Networks, there's Circle, which I've just found out recently has added a website builder to their functionality.
Nice.
They just introduced that. Or you could look at BuddyBoss or Fluent Community still. There's a lot of options at different levels of building community, isn't there?
Yeah. And well, and not to kind of steal the spotlight or make this a commercial for my own things, but you know, our PowerSport Academy project is just now getting to the point where we're looking at putting community into that package. But it started out as an online training site 5 years ago, you know, and now it's had some students roll through it and it's got a little bit of energy and it's in the right space now to where we could use community almost as a lead magnet to begin to separate people into different categories. So there'd be like a free community aspect, and then there would be a channel inside the community that wouldn't be open, that wouldn't be free. And that would be for people that were paid students or people that paid for consulting. And so those are just different ways that you could leverage the idea of like a professional community. Is you would have different layers or levels or tiers of access in dealing with a profession. And then you're able to kind of leverage that for revenue and income with expansion of other product.
Yeah, and it leaves to mastermind groups. It can lead to individual mentorship and coaching. I think I was watching one individual that's got very successful course in the SEO space. You have to pre-apply. It only takes a certain amount of students. It's the course costs about $10,000. But it's highly rated, all the reviews. It's pretty, like I say, you've got to pre-apply because he's looking for people that are really motivated, because that's why he's got over 150 five-star reviews. So there are people getting a lot of success there. I'm just going to quickly go through these communities, because people, as Kirk pointed out, we get a lot of people that just want to add community to a membership website. And I think that could work, but it's much better if you're looking to build your membership in these four subcategories. It's going to be easier to add community to them. And they are professional communities. What I mean that is you're offering training in the health, in the education, where they've got to get continuous education, or they have to prove. So you're offering training, support, community around requirements of continuous education or training that's necessary. Very popular with associations. A lot of associations are around professional bodies. And it will make the association more valued to its membership. So having real community, I think it's very beneficial to association. Not all of them, because some of them are trade-based. But I say that, you know, building conversation in your particular trade association is probably beneficial. What would you say about that?
I think I kind of got lost with you there a little bit, just to be honest with you. You were talking about professional versus trades. Did I get that correct?
Well, both can benefit from building community. If you've got a trade association or you've got a professional-based association.
Yeah, I mean, and in my head, Jonathan, just to be honest, I kind of consider them almost the same.
Sure, yeah.
You know, a plumber, a carpenter, a lawyer, away from the actual job, the communication requirements are almost the same. And so it's interesting. And I think more and more, you know, we used to refer to tradespeople as tradespeople, right? People that just worked with their hands, grunts, blue collar. But their jobs, their pathways have become more technical as well. So they're kind of right in the space.
Yeah. Support communities, well, they can overlap with the first one, but I kind of, the way my mind works is kind of coaching, personal support, mental health issues, people that got particular long-term chronic diseases or that. But it's a much broader sector, which can all be covered by support communities. What, you know, but I suppose it can also cover sport. That is probably covered by number three we're going to talk about. So how would you classify support communities?
I see that, like, from a coaching standpoint, I think that's a really good entry point for a lot of folks. So coaching is interesting because coaching is like consulting. It's like a mastermind. It's like you're not exactly training. You're extracting information from the subject themselves through good questions, you know, good communication. And so having them in a kind of a community atmosphere for communication at scale can work really, really well to help build your business.
Yeah, I'm going to quickly go for the last two because I really want to get on to section two before we go for our middle break. And that's interest-based communities. I think that's kind of like sports comes to mind, fishing, cool. Any kind of hobby-based. And then you've got personal brand. Well, some people have got a personal brand online, on radio, on television, but definitely on YouTube, in social media. They're on TikTok and they've built a substantial community. So they've got a personal brand and they're just trying to add conversation under their own control. What do you reckon about those last two?
The personal brand is the one that I kind of have a big question mark on because the whole idea is, so maybe I think of like, we talked about Alex Hormozi in school, right? So that's a big name.
That's a personal brand.
That's a personal brand community, right? So that very much fits. But I think if we're gearing this particular show to new membership and course creator types of audience, that's a long time coming. It takes a while to get there.
Yeah. So let's go on, because obviously this should be, but I think I wanted to describe kind of some subcategories where community really works well based on our experience, doesn't it, Kurt? So let's go to key strategies for community building using social media. Yeah. I think we keep hammering away with this first one, but I think it's all important. I haven't applied it myself, and it's always got me, it's always led to maybe more work than what was necessary. And that's understanding your audience, having an avatar and understanding their problems, what they're interested in, finding a niche audience.
Yeah.
What would you say about number one of these subcategories?
Well, the number one thing, understand your audience, is I find I've made this mistake and I've worked with a lot of clients who I've seen making the same mistake. And let's just be clear, I think that's part of the benefit of working with someone like me or Jonathan. We have the experience, we can recognize those earmarks, right? I built a whole program and I knew my audience. I knew who my students were going to be, and I built all this cool marketing content. What I failed to realize was those people were never going to swipe a credit card and buy my training or access to my community. It was actually going to be their bosses that would have to pay for that. And so I knew the audience that I was going to be working with, but I didn't understand the audience that was making the purchase decision. And so it's a real kind of sketchy game that we play when we're talking about know your audience or understand your audience. In this framework, we're talking about who's actually going to swipe a credit card and increase your business with revenue. And so you want to make sure that you have content that appeals to the people that you'll be working with, but also the people that might swipe the credit cards and join the project.
Yeah. The only way that might, and you're probably, I'm pretty sure that you thought all this out, is the particular example that you gave us is that you offer a much cheaper, much smaller, lower cost course aimed at those lower targets. But you probably thought of that anyway, and you come to the conclusion, even if you got them as students and you asked them to refer you or get you in with the principal of the dealership, it might get you an introduction, but you probably made the conclusion that it won't be a strong enough introduction to make a difference.
Yeah.
Would I be right?
Yeah. It would kind of be like to take it away from my picture. Let's go a different route. Let's say that you create this really awesome course and community for human resource representatives that work with mid-sized companies all across the United States. And you gear all your messaging towards these human resource people. Well, you have to understand the human resource director probably isn't going to be the one to be able to give you the credit card for the access. They're going to have to get permission from the vice president or the president of their company for that budgetary thing. So your marketing, your delivery of sales material should be to the vice president or president, not to the human resource lady. Because let's be clear, the human resource people, they got hired for their known expertise. They got hired for what they supposedly bring to the table. And so when you put them in a position of having to go to their boss and say, hey, could you give me $5,000 for this training program? It'll make me better at my job. They're instantly thinking, why am I going to pay another $5,000 to make you better at something you're already supposed to know what to do?
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that you market to the right people.
Yeah, sure. Developing compelling content. I think that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? You know, but what is compelling? You know, you could have, it's just the volume, but there are tools now, AI tools. We're going to be discussing some of the leading tools in the second half of the show that can help you. It's just the volume of content. I haven't made my decision. No, some people say you need to be on all social media platforms. I think if you're an individual entrepreneur or small team, that's difficult. I really think you've got to choose like one or two or three at the max social media platforms, and you religiously need to post on. I've been pretty good until the last couple of months about that, haven't I? But I've, for various reasons, I've been busy on other things. I need to get back into that. But I couldn't cover, I think it's a good idea to try different platforms, and there will be certain social media platforms that you gel with, and there'll be others that you don't. Do you think I'm right about that?
Yeah, I think. I agree with you.
Yeah, but compelling content, that's a very broad statement, isn't it? Because a lot of the content, I think if you can get it up to 80%, I think it's fine, because that last 20% of quality is going to take time, and it's the volume you're knocking out. And it depends, you know, some content, you get a lot of response, and it doesn't need to be slick, does it?
No, and see, that was the hesitation in my answer, Jonathan. I have so many pieces that I thought were too basic or too plain or not insightful enough, but I put them up anyway, and they get great traffic. And then you have stuff that you work really hard on that's really top shelf, and maybe it's too highbrow. Maybe people just, it's over their heads. I don't, sometimes I find that our audience is much more simple than we assume they are. And so sometimes when we say make compelling content, I think it's really important to drive content from different entry points and make sure that you hit each level of intellect coming to your audience.
And then it's actively engaged with your followers. Love podcasting, but it's its main problem, isn't it? You know, you can only engage through X, i.e. Twitter. If they go to the YouTube, please go to the WP Tonic YouTube channel, which we've got over 1,700 videos about membership and tools and just loads of resources, and you'll be able to watch this recording. But it's just, it's really hard to get interactivity through podcasting, isn't it? But that's why you need maybe to cut up bits up and put them on TikTok, on Instagram, put them on YouTube to get that kind of interaction with your audience, because it's practically impossible with podcasting, isn't it?
I told you before, when I had my own podcast, I was literally going to push the button and turn the thing off, just delete the thing. I didn't think it was working. I wasn't seeing the engagement. I wasn't seeing the responses. And then I went out to live events and people would run into me and say, oh, you're the Mañana No Mas guy. I've been watching your show for years. And that's when I was like, there's no way I'm turning this thing off. Like it obviously works, but I have no way of actually seeing its success.
I think the next one is one of my strengths. I think I see what you say. Be transparent and authentic. I've always tried to be honest with my audience the best I can, apart from when I'm kidding myself. I think you're the same. I think, you know, what you see of Kirk when we're on doing this podcast and you're watching us is what you get privately. And I think, hopefully you would agree, what you see here for me is what you get in private as well. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. That to me is so huge, because I've met some people off screen, and when I meet them off screen and they're not who I expect them to be, it's a really quite a disappointment.
Yeah. Always listen to your feedback of your audience. Well, if you can get feedback, that's one of the problems podcasts, but when you do get feedback, you know, obviously you don't have to follow it totally, but you should really listen. It is important. And collaborating with influencers. Well, that's something. Well, I think with the Roundtable Show and having people and being open to allow other influencers and creators in the WordPress, YouTube, I've been reasonably open in having people on the show, the other show that we do, the WP Tonic Show.
Yeah.
But I mean, what would you say?
Well, it's kind of funny, because literally today I was just, you know, looking at some of the software and plugins that I've been using, and those inspirations came from participating in the show with you and getting access to other people. And some of the platforms that we've used in AI have been because we've interviewed people about AI on the show. So, I think working with the influencers and movers and shakers in the space is kind of what gives us that well-rounded approach that we have here on this show.
Right. We're going to round up the first part of the show. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about software and services that can help you produce social media content in 2026. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. It's been a great first half. Before we go into the second half, I want to point out we've got a great course done by Kirk himself. It shows you how to build a membership community stroke website from beginning to end using the best WordPress technology. It's normally around $50. You can get it for under half price. Plus, we've got a list of created plugins and services, the best to help you build a membership website, and some special offers from the major sponsors of the show. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deal, and you find all the goodies there. So on we go. So I started off with something that might not be seen as social media, but I think video is really important, and I think getting video content, which then you can turn into short content, but also have content that's long content, which in Google's eyes is anything over 3 seconds, but I see it around 30 to 45 minutes plus myself. And I see YouTube. YouTube has become one of the largest quasar social media channels out there. And people have based their whole business on their YouTube audience. So doing live streaming is seen as a way of getting a large audience. We live stream this podcast, or this show, I should say. I should get rid of the word podcast and use the word show. So live streaming is important, and having a platform that lets you do it easily and well is important. So for this podcast and for the other WP Tonic podcast, I use StreamYard, and StreamYard was bought out by a company called Bending Spoon, I think over 18 months ago. And they got rather controversial because they really put the prices up, and they're adding a lot of new functionality, which I haven't really looked at, but recently they've added a lot. But the main thing is they're not very transparent about their pricing. My pricing comes up at the beginning of April. I'm probably going to move to other platform, or I'm going to unsubscribe and see what they're going to offer me, because they're very, I wouldn't say misleading, but they are not very open now about what their charges is. How would you respond to what I've just said, Kurt?
Well, I got my renewal notice from StreamYard and discontinued them on the Mañana No Más channel, and which is a shame because I really like the product. I do. I mean, we're using it right now, and I like the product. And we use it with Lifter LMS for one of the things I do with Lifter. And the new features we actually use, like there's sound effects now, and you can put in like little inset movies and stuff, and you can do some cool stuff with it. It's almost like you can produce a show without having to, you know, download the video and edit the show, right? To make it's almost like having a TriCaster. If you're familiar with TV talk, it's almost like having a TriCaster now. It's getting better and better, but I don't want to pay $1,000 a year for it.
No, I've got the lower plan. The problem is it doesn't give 4X. Is it 4X? What's it called? Sorry, I've lost it, but the kind of quality that you're looking for from the video, I've got the 720 plan.
Yeah, so instead of being at 4K or 1080p?
Yeah, 4K, yeah.
Yeah.
And if I do plan, I do plan to increase the quality. I really need, but I'm not prepared to spend $1,000 with them to get that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, for the $1,000, you do get the extra channels to stream to, so you can do more than 3 channels at a time and that kind of thing. But what we did at Mañana No Más was we really looked at our numbers and we said, how many people are watching the live stream? How much is the streaming really paying off for us in exposure versus republishing a recording of the video? And we weren't seeing that big of a deal in it. So we kind of held off on StreamYard. And Jonathan, I don't know if you know this or not, but I've been publishing a lot through Rumble now. I got an account with Rumble, and with Rumble, it's free, and you can stream directly to YouTube, Facebook, X, and if you have a Locals channel, to Locals, and it streams to all of those while you're making your content.
Oh, right. I look at it. One of their main competitors that's come on is EV Max, or some people call it EV Max. Other people call it EV Max. It's quite powerful. They've got a free product, but I think it's got watermarks, but the basic is 25 and the pro is 49 a month. And it's powerful, and it's very similar to StreamYard. And apart from what you've just suggested, which I will go and have a look at, just before April, I probably will go to EV Max, or the next one we can discuss. So what do you, did you look at EV Max when you were looking at jumping ship?
No, actually, you brought it to my attention for this show. The one thing that caught my eye was the amount of stuff that I could do. So a pre-recorded stream at $25 a month, I could do 2 hours a month. I could multi-stream to four destinations, 20 gigs of storage. So it's a little less storage than you get with StreamYard. So you got to like manage your recordings better. There was a couple of things there that were reduced over the StreamYard offering, but at $25 a month is cheaper than StreamYard. So then I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. It's worth taking a look at. Where I got confused was their pricing plans were split up by individual versus business. Yes. And when you go into business, it jumps to, you know, $300 a month and gives you 10 hours of stream up to 10 hours each live. And I was kind of confused as to what the each was.
Yeah, I need to look at it. Another one, but it's Mac only, but it's really popular, is Ecamm, standard 20 Pro 40. They've been around a number of years, but like I say, it's Mac only. What do you know about these people? Because it's another one I probably will look at.
Yeah, I'm a PC guy, so it was never on my radar.
Yeah.
I have had clients that used it in the past, and they were like advocates. Like they really liked it. Where I got confused was it said like Ecamm for Zoom, right? And I was like, well, Zoom is already a video tool, so what is this doing that's different? But it does have 4K streaming and things like that. So I almost see it like a Restream alternative, right? Where it's still kind of like going through your stream product like Zoom, but it's streaming out to other channels. Is that kind of how this is working?
Yeah, kind of, but it has got similar functionality to StreamYard or EV Max. So it definitely can be there. A couple others, you got OBS, which is free, but it is complicated, and it used to be a bit flaky, but I think you can use it. Another one is Riverside. That seems to, a lot of people are plugging that. They were more into podcasting than that, but they've got a product for $29. They got their live at $39 and webinar at $99. So it's definitely been pushed by a lot of influencers, Riverside.
Used Riverside with WP Minute.
Oh, yeah. How you found it?
It's wonderful. It is. It's very intuitive for the guest, very intuitive for the host. And as a host, when you're done recording, it does what StreamYard does. It records locally. So if you have a bad internet connection or something like that, you still get a really great product at the end because it stitches the local recordings together for you. So that part's awesome. And then when you're done recording an episode with somebody, it automatically like starts breaking out shorts for you and things like that. So Riverside, as far as like a features and benefits tool, is really quite interesting. It works really, really well.
Well, I might look at that then, because like you said, it's breaking up in shorts and that. So you're killing two birds with one stone. So I definitely will have a look at that. Like I say, the Pro or the Live, $29.39 month to month is not ridiculously priced, is it?
No. And like I said, I used Riverside. I use Rumble personally for some stuff. I do some stuff with OBS and Zoom together. I was able to do some things that way. But to your point, I think OBS is like, I hate the idea when we say it's open source or however you want to phrase that. And it just seems like it implies difficulty. But there are levels of difficulty to it. And you'll notice when we're doing like a mastermind and someone's having camera problems on a community Zoom call, it's generally someone that has OBS hooked up.
The reason why because live streaming is getting more and more important, folks, and video is getting more and more important in social media, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. So if you want to build your audience and you want to get people into your membership site using video in 2026, it's just going to get more important. So I thought we would start off with, because you can use these live streamings to record, download it, get it cut up, depending on which system you're using, or there's third-party systems that do that. It's just important. Now, let's look at a scheduler, you know, because consistency is important. So using a scheduler is probably a good idea. Now, I've got one from Buffer. I used to use it myself. The free has been crippled a fair bit. The essential is $6 a month. The team is $12. Good scheduler when I was using it, but that was about 3 or 4 years ago. And then you got Adobe Express, which is controversial, but because it's Adobe, not everything's free. If you want the top, but it does a ton of stuff, not only as a scheduler, it's going to be in one of the other subcategories as well. So they're offering it for free. How long it everything, well, not everything's free as it is. It's Adobe, but what it offers. And then the last one, I've got Social Pilot, which is a kind of starts at $30. So there's a big jump, but it's more of a, if you've got a team or you're kind of quasar social media agency, but the price, if you've got a number of social media accounts and you've got like one or three people helping you manage it, probably Social Pilot at $30 isn't a bad idea. So what would you say about the three I've just outlined?
Buffer, just like yourself, I used to use that a while ago. And Buffer to me worked well when I was getting started. And I just want to put it like that. It was basic and it was like post this. And I could set it up for certain dates. That was great. I got spoiled by Sprout Social, which is a very expensive platform for social media. Sprout Social.
Yeah, I went to their website and they don't show their prices. I couldn't find their prices.
Yeah, they may have gone to an enterprise model, Jonathan. I when the last I used it, it was like $350 a month or something. I used it corporately. And I got spoiled by it because it had a lot of really cool features. And because I got spoiled in that way, I started looking for things that would allow me to kind of emulate that away from that. So right now, I personally use a system called HeroPost. HeroPost gives me like unlimited social channels that I can post to. And when I post something, I can reschedule the post. So I can have it go out every 2 days for the next month or every 3 days for the next 60 days or whatever. And those are the types of tools that I like. What I really liked about Sprout Social and what Adobe does also is you could load up a photo and it would trim that photo for the application it was going to post to. So like Sprout Social, I could load up a photo and it would say, trim it for Instagram, trim it for Facebook, trim it for, you know, whatever. And it would edit the photo automatically, which was super, super cool. HeroPost doesn't do that. And so with HeroPost, if I go to load something up to like Facebook or LinkedIn and then add it to Instagram, I'll get an error that says Instagram can't take the photo because it's not the right proportions. Whereas Adobe Express will alter the images for you. So now the next question that the viewers and listeners are going to have, they're going to say, well, Kurt, if you have Adobe Express, because I'm an Adobe Creative Cloud user, they're going to say, if you already have that and you have the paid version of it, how come you don't use it? And I'm going to tell you this, Jonathan, everything in Adobe to me is confusing. Everything. I go to do something in Photoshop, I get lost. I use Premiere Pro like a mad dog, but that's just because I had to use it corporately for years. And I'm kind of okay with editing video. But as an infrastructure, all of those Adobe tools, I have access to all of them. And it's so confusing to get into something and get proficient at it. So I just pay for the other platform to use it.
Yeah, I think the Adobe Express is doing a fair bit. What I've looked at it, it's not too bad, but everything you said about their other products, I totally agree with. And the social pilot, I haven't used that in anger at all, but the research I did, it looked pretty slick. And it's a bit like what you were saying about social, was it Sprout?
Sprout Social.
It looks kind of quasar professional tool, but the prices aren't outrageous. So I thought I would add it to the list.
Well, what's nice about Social Pilot is, you know, for the $42 a month, the standard, and I should be clear, I mean, that's not like super cheap, right? You're $40 a month, you're $42 a month to spend.
Oh, maybe I've got the yearly prices here. You said, is that month to month to all to?
That was yearly, monthly. Monthly is $50 a month. Yeah. So $50 a month, 15 social media accounts, 3 different users, 1,000 AI credits, and a social media inbox. A lot of these tools don't have like a social media inbox. So it's kind of cool that you're able to do everything right through the platform. It kind of reminds me of the old, like I think Hootsuite, you used to be able to do everything in one screen, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. Does it alter the images for the different social media platforms?
No, I don't think that it does.
No. See, that's important. On to the next one, social media content builders. Obviously, Canva. Love Canva. Free. Not too crippled to free. I've got the paid version. It's coming up next month. I will still probably cough up the money. It's $120 a year. And then I've got Adobe Express again. And I don't know why I put Surfer on, because it's SEO, but it's a writing tool. Some of them, it's a good one, but it starts at $99. So I don't know why I added that to it. I thought content, we've got to talk about SEO writer, but you use a couple content tools in the SEO space that are a bit more cheaper, don't you? But I've got, what do you reckon about Canva?
Well, I've got it, and I stick with the paid version because I've got family members on the same account. My daughter's younger. She uses it for her business. My son plays with it and does stuff for school with it. So we use Canva. But what I think is interesting is Canva kind of like held the market for a long time on like just being this really cool, simple, you know, artistic space. But all these other tools started kicking up with like similar things. And so like I have a YouTube tool that I use that'll generate thumbnails for me. Well, I was generating thumbnails in Canva, yeah. Right? And then you start thinking about these other tools. All these other things are starting to come up with these AI injections where it'll help you make or formulate these things. And I'm wondering how much that's going to encroach on Canva in the next, you know, 1 to 3 years. But Canva for now seems to be the ubiquitous leader in the space.
And then I've listed Adobe Express again, but I suppose your thoughts, you've already expressed those. It's amazing. Not everything is for free, but there's a lot that is. But it's more about the company more than anything.
There's something about the Express that I want to mention on the show. And that's when you have an Adobe account and you set things up correctly, which I'm not saying I have, you can set up multiple brands and multiple palettes and multiple, like as if you were an agency and you had multiple clients, you could set up different client accounts with different branding guidelines and different core colors. And you can do that. But that's the point that I was making earlier, was that adds a level of complexity that you may or may not be looking for. And so I don't want my negative words here to imply that the product is horrible. The product's not horrible. It's just not applicable to a lot of people that I talk to in the space.
Yeah. So it was a couple, I'll put this Surfer, and I think that's a bit rich really. But there's a couple other tools that you use. Anything you want to mention?
I'm using a ton of things right now, Jonathan. I mean, as far as like making content. So you had mentioned before how important you thought video was. I make a ton of video content and then I run it through Descript, which alters the audio for me. And I'm able to trim the video with the text editor, which is really cool. So if I have a lot of ums and ahs, I can take the ums and ahs out and it edits the video with the ums and ahs out of the video, which is awesome. And then Descript also makes those short clips that we were talking about earlier. And so I used to subscribe to Opus AI, which is a fantastic clip making tool. I've nothing against Opus AI except that Riverside makes the clips, Descript makes the clips. Gosh, I got something else that makes the clips too. I can't remember what that was, but when you have all these tools that are duplicating the same features, it makes it really hard to keep paying for all.
Yeah, I didn't know Riverside. I definitely will be looking at Riverside now because I'll be killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to stay because I need to do 4K really. Both cameras I've got, and I need to be able to switch from one camera. I have got the setup that allows me to do it. I just haven't bothered. I need to up the game and put a bit more effort on production. Not go berserk, but just a bit more effort on it. So I'll definitely be looking at Riverside. What about, there's a couple that AI posts, writers. There's one particular product you use, isn't there?
Now you got me confused. I use Magi to do a lot of...
Yeah, Magi.
Yeah, so with Magi is like... that's like putting ChatGPT, Perplexity, Grok, and all these tools into one platform. And so it's $20 a month, and it gives me access to all the major AI tools.
I think he's coming on the show again in November.
Dustin?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy. He gave me a little bit of a hard time after our AI review show. And that's so he got me to try it because he gave me a hard time. He goes, oh, you didn't review Magi. And then I went back to take another look at it, and I've just fallen in love all over again. As far as other tools go, we had, his name was Ryan. I can't remember his last name, from Write Blogger.
Yes.
And that is a phenomenal tool, Jonathan. It's
one. Well, he's coming back on the show in the beginning of December.
Yeah, we should probably keep mentioning him. I mean, they've just done some improvements to Write Blogger. I still have an account over at Write Blogger, and I still occasionally use it. And here's why I like it. When I go into Write Blogger and I want to make a blog post for a WordPress page, it makes the post and formats it so that you can just copy and paste it into your page. If you write a post in ChatGPT, you have to copy and paste it into your post in your site, but then you have to format it. You got to set up the H1s, the H2s, and the spacings and all the stuff. You know, you got to go through all the, you got to look at all the punctuation. You got to move everything around. When you take it from Write Blogger, it's ready to go. Boom, boom. And Write Blogger has this cool thing where they could take your YouTube video and not necessarily make a transcript, but make it like a sister blog post based on the, like a summary of the video. And so when you take that summary and your video and put it in a single post, it's a really clean setup.
Hopefully, maybe River, because I need to do that because I plan to make a lot of it more video content in 26. And hopefully Riverside might do that because I have got another transcription tool. I've got a lifetime deal. I probably could use that, but it's not unlimited. So I need a tool that can help out. So I definitely look at that. So, Kurt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Kurt?
Well, for business, it's Mañana No Más. It's mañananomás.com and then Mañana No Más on X and Facebook. And then if you want to make a connection on LinkedIn, I'm Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn, and I'm the only Kurt Von Annen there. So if you look me up, there I am. You know you got me.
And if you want to support the show, folks, and you're listening on this on your phone, either on iTunes or Spotify, they make it really easy to leave a review. And it could be 1 star, 2 stars, or 5 stars. Just leave us a review. Give your honest opinion. Are you getting value from this show? Hopefully you are. That's the main purpose, that you get value from it. And if you could do that, both me and Kirk would be very appreciative because it shows us to new people and it helps build the show and it encourages us to keep making these episodes, which I hope you're getting value from. We will be back next week with another topic that will help you build your successful membership and community website and get the success for yourself and your family that you're looking for. We will be back soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.